Again.
Hello and good evening and a very, very happy Sabbath to all. So I could see there's quite a few people on here and I'm just really glad to be given the opportunity to just break a little bread with you this evening. You know that as part of Sabbath, Shabbat, bread is always shared as part of the Jewish community. So we're sharing bread today as well. What are the two most sought after items in March 2020. What were the two most sought after items in March 2020? Can anybody tell me?
Toilet tissue and flour
and pasta.
Yes, pasta was there, but definitely toilet paper and flour. Everybody learn how to make bread. Bread, as you know, is one of the staple diets amongst households. And I don't understand it, but I find that a lot of English people have bread with everything. They have bread with chips, stew, they have it at lunchtime, and they have it at dinner time, and they have it in between. And I don't actually understand what a chip butty is and why people like a chip butty. Anybody chip butty lovers here? Anybody like chip butty? No?
Yes, very nice.
You like chip butty, Janet?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my
goodness. I don't have it often, but it does taste very nice.
I don't actually understand it.
Don't know what
personally speaking. Sorry?
I don't know what that is.
A chip butty. All right. Janet, could you please explain to Howard what a chip butty is?
Chip butty is, so you have your two slices of bread with butter or without butter, and then you've got your nice chips that you put on top of that bread and you sandwich it together and you bite into it, and that is your chip butty.
Never heard of it. No way.
Preferably with steak chips.
Thank you. Thank you, but
what did you say, Sister Elizabeth?
No way. I wouldn't eat it. How?
Yes, that's what they have. They love it, especially down here in Barking and Dagenham. They love a chip butty or a chip roll. They will fill the roll with chips, lots of salt and vinegar and ketchup and or even curry sauce and squeeze it together and bite into it. Try it.
That's two starches together.
Yes.
Too much starch.
And even as I was preparing this program, this little talk, you know, our soup has everything in it. It has, you know, dumplings. It has some squash. It has all sorts of things in it. And my son then proceeded to put three slices of bread alongside this bowl of soup. And I thought, how on earth is he going to have soup with squash and, you know, yam and everything in it, and then have bread? But that's what they do, and they call it chip butty. Personally speaking, I'm not a bread lover. There's nothing sweeter, though, than the smell and the taste of homemade bread. Hot homemade bread. The smell just wafts through the house. When my mom used to make it on a cold Sabbath evening, I used to come home from school around 4:30, and that would be the smell that would meet me at the bottom of the stairs. So it's lovely smell of homemade bread. And that was the only part, I have to say, wait for it, of Shabbat that I enjoyed the most. Praise the Lord, since then I've grown and I enjoy a lot more of Shabbat. So let us pray. Eternal and most righteous Father, we've come here just to break a small morsel of your bread, the bread of life. Father, we ask that you feed us until we want no more, that what we taste and feast upon will fill us, eternal Father, and fill us with the bread of heaven, of life, of your Son, Jesus Christ, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So really, you could say that this message is for those of you who are bread lovers. During the Exodus, God gave manna, or bread, to feed the Israelites in Exodus 16. By this, our Creator sustained and nourished his people. Yet, Jesus tells us in John 6:32-33, this bread received under Moses' leadership was not the true bread from heaven. Why? Why do you think he said this? Why was it not the true bread from heaven? Anybody?
Because he's the true bread. He's the only true bread.
He's the only true bread. Anybody else?
His bread would satisfy any craving for the need for sustenance, because when God feeds you, you are well fed.
I like that, Jeanette. The reason that he did say that, yes, is the manna could not satisfy in Israel's hunger permanently. And we're looking for something that satisfies us permanently, aren't we? There are so many different types of bread, but do they really satisfy us? What type of bread do you like? What type of bread? There's about, let's see, 17 people here. What type of bread do you like?
And I like mostly wholesome bread.
Sorry, one at a time, say that again. Sister Elizabeth, you were saying?
I like bread with seeds in it and homemade.
Homemade. So do you make it?
Yes, I make bread.
Mm-hmm. Good. We look forward to tasting that. Anybody else?
If it's with patty, then cocoa bread.
Cocoa bread.
Hard bread.
Which one is
cocoa with most things?
Dawn, what type of bread do you like?
Anything really. Rye.
seeds, multi-seeds, anything like that. Brown bread, whole meal, preferably. Yeah.
Mm. Whole meal. There's so many different types of bread. I can't go through them all. But I think there's some. Go on.
Can I say that a few years ago, we had some Polish people staying, you know, members staying with us from Poland. And they said to us, well, can we go and buy some bread? And we took them to the supermarket, to the Tesco. And they just kept on holding the bread in their hands and weighing it, you know, feeling how heavy it is. And Stephen kept on saying, well, this bread is really nice and this bread is really nice. But they said, if you squash that bread together, so it looks lovely and wholesome. But if you squash it up together, it'll be the size of a tennis ball. What you need is really good, strong, whole wheat bread with made with love, and it's got to be heavy. And that's the type of bread that I like, lovely homemade bread with seeds, as Sister Elizabeth. And I think when we're talking about the bread of life, when we're talking about Jesus, what Jesus wants to offer, he wants to offer us not something that looks good, but something that is wholesome.
So a substantial bread is what you're saying, is it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I do know about that bread. It's the Polish bread is called bobolik bread. Bobolik wheat bread, and it's from Poland. And it is very solid piece of bread. Bit too heavy and dense for me, but, you know, that's what they enjoy. There's the bora bread, bora corn bread, and that's from Portugal. You have bread with yeast, bread without yeast, bread with seed, bread without seed. In Guyana, we have what is called tennis rolls. Mm. Yeah, that's absolutely gorgeous. The Asian community have various types of naan bread. And somebody gave my husband recently bulla bread. Does anybody know about bulla bread here?
It's just bulla, Lorraine. Bulla.
It's bulla?
It's just bulla, yeah.
But it looked like a bread. It's a bread, isn't it? I was told. No,
it's just bulla. Some people call it bulla cake, but it's just bulla.
Well, that thing is solid. Very solid. So, he did enjoy it. He ate quite a few. Since the dawn of time, bread has played a significant part in families, in homes, with religious rituals and family gatherings and secular and cultural gatherings. Bread plays a significant part. And I think some of you may know, I think it was May 1986, there was a series that came out on the TV screen. Does anybody know which I'm referring to? In 1986, and it came out, and it was called Bread. Yes.
Oh, yes.
The series focused on, for those who don't know, the series focused on an extended Boswell family from Liverpool.
Yes.
And the family were Catholic and they were a working class family. And they were led by their acid mouth, and that's the only way I could put it, matriarchal mother, Nellie Boswell. And she ruled over the whole family with an iron fist.
Yes.
Now, this early series focused on her and her children attempting to make a lot of money. And money is also referred to as part of the English slang as bread. And she and her family found all sorts of different ways that they would make money. And the ways that they were making money weren't sort of, you know, legit. But they got their money together, and every evening they will come and they will put it in the bread pot. So everybody would sit round this table and they will count out how much they had made, and that was their bread, because that's how they earned their money. However they earned their money, that however much they made, that is what was in the bread pot. Today, I want us to understand bread or money is not life. I want us to unpack John 6, 27 to 36. And as I have one arm, can somebody read that for me? John 6, 27 to 36.
Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Here ends the reading.
Thank you. Now, I'm just going to share with you my experience. Whilst reading this in 2018, for me, my mindset was in a different place. My mind was in a place of, and praying to God about it, seriously, you know, God, I need to prepare my appraisal at work, and I would like pay rise, and this is how much I would like. And it was coming up to April, so maybe around ending of March, and I wanted God to understand that I needed a few more things in life. And so I had this conversation with him. And this is what he said to me. He said, do not work for food that spoils, but work for that which brings eternal life, which mm-hmm. the Son of Man shall give thee.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have to say, that wasn't my response.
I'm sure.
My response was, what do you mean by that? You know. And God began to unpick for me what he actually meant. And he said to me, reduce down to 4 days per week.
Wow.
Where? as you could imagine, not only would I not receive my pay rise, but I would have a reduction in my income if I listened to what God said, which was, do not work for food that spoils. So, I have to say, I was a little bit baffled by this, and I really struggled with actually reducing my hours down to 4 days per week. But I don't know about you, but I know about me. If God's going to ask me to do something, then I really do need to think about doing it, because I really don't want to feel the consequences. Not that God is a God that, you know, is going to be overly harsh with me about something like that, I don't think. But for me, I just really struggles with the mere fact that I would have to reduce my salary. And I couldn't actually see how ends were going to meet. So that for me was a challenge. But as time has gone on, I'll be pleased to tell you, I did obey. I obeyed and I reduced. And you could you never see what God sees, what's ahead. And for the last 2 years since then has been a roller coaster for myself and my family. So I started off having this really serious, I had this pain anyway in my shoulder, but it really increased, it really got worse in 2018, and I had to take time off. And I took time off for about 4 weeks. That's something that is unheard of for me. And that's the period that God spoke to me and said, you know, to reduce down to 4 days. So in doing so, I then found a month later that my dad had to be hospitalized, and he needed a lot more time, care, and attention. And the only day that I had available was the one day that I took off to do as God said to do. So I think, you know, sometimes we don't see what God has in store for us. Even though I wanted to go up in my profession as well as in my salary, God said, no, there are other things that are valuable, other things that are important. But my mind was focused on the bread. So we need to learn to believe, as it says in verse 29. The people said to Jesus, what? Then they asked him, what must we do to do the good works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is to believe. And if God tells us something, we need to believe him. We need to first and foremost believe in the one that was sent. We need to believe the Son of Man. We need to believe what he tells us to do. And I don't know if anybody else finds it hard to believe in what Jesus tells us to do. At the moment, we don't actually know what to believe. There are so many people that are confused. There's so much confusion about what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Should we stay in? Should we go to work? Are the schools open? Why are the schools open? all of this is causing confusion to a lot of people. People are worried about whether to stock up on their flour, toilet paper, all these soap powders, etc. They're querying, how long are we going to be in lockdown for? Is it only going to be until the 2nd of December, or is it going to go on for much longer? But I want to say to you, man, that's us, does not live by bread alone. John 4:4 tells us, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When you think about it, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we came into existence just by what God spoke, just by what he said. Every day, only by God's word, we open our eyes, we take a breath. When he speaks, things happen. Creation came into existence. Mm-hmm. Creation clearly displays that our God is a mighty God. Job 39, verse 20, God asked the question when Lorraine had one of her moments of telling God what to do. God said, who is this that darkens my corner? And when God responds to you like that, you know that you've pushed the boundaries and you must know your place. But he said, who is this that darkens my corner? And I responded in a very tiny voice, me. But he says, do you give the horses its strength or clothe its neck with the mane? Do you make it leap like the locust? Do you command the rain to fall? Do you know where the snow is hidden in its storehouse? No, I don't. And I'm sure none of you here today do. But when he commands that it snows, or when he commands the horse with all its strength to run, it comes to pass. What he says comes into fruition. It comes alive. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when I thought about the fact that when God speaks and that life and death is in the power of the tongue, when he speaks, things actually happen, it made me think about those families, those individuals who are confused, who are worried, who are not assured, who are not convicted about where their next slice of bread is coming from. There are families out there who are worried and concerned about where they're going to get the next food from, if they'll have anything to give their children in the morning for breakfast. Working in the schools has allowed me to see some of those families and reason with some of those families, giving them hope, giving them direction as to where they can go. But it's not just the food banks, really, that we need to be directing these families too. If the Word of God gives life, and we believe the Word of God to be written in the Bible, then these words, His words, are life-giving. And we need to give those words to those people that we come into contact with. I don't know about you, but I want to receive the bread of life as well as give the bread of life. I want to be able to pray in such a way that my prayers give life to somebody else. When he says man cannot live by bread alone, he's also telling us whatever we need, he can supply. By just speaking it into being, his every word can be, by speaking his every word, food can be provided. Food can be provided for you. Food can be provided for those who don't have any. And I know I am one of those individuals that questioned whether I should or I should not stock up. And I have. But now that I have stocked up, I have asked God also to help me to share what I have stocked up, so that those who do not have can also be provided for. We tend to hustle for bread. We tend to spend 95% of our working life trying to earn, trying to put food on the table. But really, my question is to you, which bread of life do you really require? What word has God given you? Now, he gave me, do not work for food that's spoiled. Is there anybody that would like to share a word that God has given you, a scripture that you have really held on to throughout this pandemic?
My scripture would be, I think it's Philippians 2:5 or so, which says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So you keep focusing, even though the times might get a bit rough on the road, get a bit gloomy, things that you're hearing is just going negative. You find that you want to be the one to, well, for me, I just, yeah, that might be so, but what about this? Look at that, look at this. And I try to look at the other good things, even in my client's house, and they're saying, oh, we can't come out. Nobody's coming to visit. Well, I come to visit you. That's why I'm out here. I'm coming to visit you. You know, it's not my job to visit them that regular, but with this situation where we know they're down, we kind of increase it in the office that we will pop around more, you know, just call them and pop around a little bit more. So every once a week, they'll see me, sometimes 4 or 5 people for the day. And I feel that that is, you know, what is needed. So that's my text. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because, you know, you humble yourself and you know that what you're doing is just to bless the Lord, just to praise the Lord.
Thank you, Howard. Anybody else? Anybody else has a word from God? Throughout this pandemic, nobody received a word from God to sustain them. Can you hear me?
Yes, just continue to bring his word unto them throughout the Sabbath, whether it be by evangelizing or bringing them literature, advertising the prayer line for the prayer ministry, just things like this, every Sabbath just going out and you know, meeting with the community and just giving thanks and bringing his word unto them. So that there's not a particular specific word, but just doing the works for him, yeah, throughout this time, because I feel this is the time when, you know, as prophecy is fulfilling, that the community really need to hear his word. So yeah.
And I would say also, you can witness in various ways. So this time of year, I've sent all my sunset times. So the whole department is aware, because a message went out to say, you know, Johnnet works 8 o'clock in the morning and finishes at 4 and various times because she's a Seventh-day Adventist. And the other thing I shared with them, because I work for the regulator of nurses and midwives, I shared with them the piece from last Sabbath. I said to them, you'll find this very interesting from people on the front line and what things are like for them on the ground. So I shared that with the whole directorate. So I pray that it will be a blessing to them, because they will hear Nicole's prayer before each person describes what life is like in their health sectors. And so there's just different ways that you can share with those you come into contact with.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. Any other persons?
For me, I think God's, I haven't got a word per se, but I feel peace. I feel peace, and by me feeling peace, I think it's making my children in my class feel peaceful. Monday, they were a bit anxious. Tuesday, they were a bit anxious at school. But as the week went on, I saw them feeling more relaxed and everything. And I think if I was a bit anxious, I think they'll be anxious about this whole COVID thing. But God has allowed me to feel at peace, and I've been able to help my children in my class feel the same way by giving them encouraging words and letting them know that God's right there with them.
Amen. I think that's really important for our children. And not even children. A few weeks ago, as I was coming back from my hospital appointment, and it's really something that you don't really see. You see people walking across a bridge. You don't see, well, I've never seen someone hanging over a bridge. And with their head bowed and just really looking discouraged, despondent, hopeless, really. And being on the motorway, unfortunately, I wasn't able to stop at that particular time to give somebody, that person, you know, some encouragement, to give that person the bread of life, because that person really looked like they wanted to take their own life. And I just really wanted them to know that there is life, you know? And obviously at some point I stopped and I had to end up calling the police, you know? But I just prayed and prayed and prayed that when the emergency services reached him, that there would be somebody there to fill that gap and to give that person, you know, the bread of life. Because as Johnnet said at the beginning, you know, God Jesus is our sustainer. You know, the bread that he gives us, it fills every part of us. And bread is something that, you know, people do use to buffer out their meals, so to speak. And, you know, even a small crumb from the word of God can satisfy us and fill us and make us feel as if everything is going to be okay. And I just really wanted that gentleman to feel like that, you know. So having, you know, money, working 5 days or 6 days a week or however many hours that you work in your job, you know, doesn't necessarily fill us and sustain us. The word or the term breadwinner originated from the noun bread, one who supplies a living for himself and for others, especially the family. They're the primary or the sole income earner in the household. And previously, it used to be the man in the household that contributed the largest portion of the household income. But things have changed. So much so that everybody now is hustling and bustling to see how much they can earn. And now that people are in a place where jobs are being removed as well, people are losing their jobs, people are on furlough, people are really discouraged and they need encouragement. I know for myself what God was saying to me at that particular time when he said, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures and gives eternal life. What he was saying to me is, know who your primary breadwinner and your supplier is. Which is why he tells us in Matthew 6, 25 to 36, not to worry and to be not anxious. But we first have to believe. We first have to believe the word that he has given us. That every word that proceeds out of his mouth will come into fruition. We first have to believe that he is the sustainer, that he is and that he has sufficient for all our needs. By speaking to you this evening, which happens to be last minute, very last minute, I am testing and tasting the bread of life. I, Lorraine, need to test and taste whether God will supply all my needs. Because he said, Lorraine, there are people who are hungry, people who have not had any bread, people who have not been invited to the banquet that we're having and experiencing here. There are some who would just like to have a crumb. Jesus came down to supply all our needs, our salvational needs. I am the bread of life, he said. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. My job and your job is not just to spend 95% of our time earning an income. Our job is to go out and to share the bread of life to those that are hungry, to those that need just a crumb. The question is, do you believe that? Do you believe what he's asked you to do? I know I struggle when he says, go out there and tell people. I struggle with it. And I struggle with it because I need to remove self. Do you believe in him and what he can do for you? Or do you believe only in what he can give you? That's one of the questions that I had to ask myself. Because, you know, sometimes your prayers can be, Lord, can I have? Lord, can you give? Lord, what about me? Etc. But really, what we have is more than what thousands of people have. Think on it. Your prayers, think in your prayers. Are your prayers about, I love you and what can I do for you? Or are your prayers, give me? Some of us only follow Jesus for the bread, not because we love or necessarily believe. Today, I encourage you to believe in him. Depend on his word. His word is what you will see us through this pandemic. His word is what will satisfy us. He is our supplier. All he has to do is to speak and it will be put into place, into existence. Do you believe his word? What has he asked you to do personally? Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to thank Lorraine for leading out tonight. I have to say that we had a speaker for this evening that pulled out at the last minute. And I spoke to Auntie Lorraine this morning. So it was really last minute. but she was able to step into the gap just in time. And the beautiful thing is that it ultimately doesn't really matter who the vessel is. It's the same Holy Spirit that speaks through the vessel. And I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks through us during tonight to share with us word on the bread of life, the true bread of life, and just reminding us to think about our priorities and our focus. And it's very true. Oftentimes we invest so much time on money and career, our own personal development, and don't necessarily think about the real and true bread of life, the most valuable bread that we can partake or share in. And then we do not share those nuggets that we have. So it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to take in. And I just pray that the seeds that have been sown today, that the Holy Spirit will continue to water them, and that we won't just have heard it and felt nice temporarily now, but it's something that we can really take, digest and apply to our lives moving forward. So thank you again, Auntie Lorraine, for agreeing to share. And thank you everyone for coming out to Friday night worship. We will continue every Friday night. The lockdown does not change our time. In fact, I expect the numbers to increase, because if lockdown, it means you should be in your house. So you should be available to come and worship together. It's important that even though our physical church buildings may be closed, that we as a church family still are intentional and make time to support each other, to fellowship with each other, and time to pray with each other. So I'm going to hand over to Auntie Lorraine again, and I don't know if you have any more to say, but if not, if you could just close off with a word of prayer for us also.
Okay, thank you everyone. Let us pray. Father God, we come into your presence this evening. It's the start of your Sabbath hours, and we are truly honored and privileged to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Throughout these hours, eternal Father, we just pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us so that we can receive your word. Fill us with life anew. Fill us with hope. Fill us with your power to go forward and do what you would have us to do. Fill us, eternal Father, that we may fill others, and that they too may break bread with us. Lord, I'm just saying that we need to increase the numbers here, not with just church members, but with those individuals that really need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I'm just speaking it, requesting it, and expecting that you will bring it to pass, because when you speak, things are done. So thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.